We are exactly halfway through the 10 o'clock hour. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you with us this morning. So Katie J. Pearson's latest album, The Sound of the Morning, was the number one independent album. It picked up massive support from the best indie shops across the UK. We are delighted that she is joining us this morning. We have a show on May 1st. At Genghis Cohen here in Los Angeles. And then all the way across the country 2 days later in New York. We'll talk about those 2 days as we get to know her. I want you to get to know her musically first. Please do me a favor, Laguna Beach and rest of the United States, and welcome Katie J. Pearson.
Alligator snap me up again. Giant tarantula crawling down my leg. Could it get any better? The story is perfectly sound. Falling down 7 flights of stairs, pulling out my hair. Story is perfectly sound. 10-foot wave could just drag me down, getting lost, wrong part of the town. And it felt just like a dream, and it keeps on. Forget the names of everyone I met, learning French and instantly forget. Could it get any better? The story is perfectly sound. Got my dress caught in the tube doorstep and vomit on the floor. Story is perfectly sound, and it felt just like a dream, and it keeps on happening, and it felt just like a dream, and it keeps on. Dog bite, lightning strike, lightning strike, dog bite, lightning strike, lightning strike, dog bite, lightning strike, dog bite, lightning strike, dog bite.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm Katie J. Pearson. I'm here all the way from Bristol, in the west of England, and it's very nice to be here in a studio in Laguna Beach. I used to watch Laguna Beach reality show when I was ill off school, so it's very nice to be back where all that magic happened. This next song is called Sound of the Morning, and it's the lead track from, well, title track of my latest record. And yeah, play it now.
Sound of the morning, waiting for the light of day, came, still got nothing. Give me one reason that I should overcome this. Still not finished. When the morning has arrived, like a baby just still alive, something stopped me, hypnotized, just like heaven almost died. Ooh, ooh. Wanna move to a great height, see the ground below shine. Are we gonna lose it? Give me one reason that I should overcome this. Still not finished. When the morning has arrived, like a baby just still alive, something stopped me, hypnotized, just like heaven almost died. When the morning has arrived, like a baby just still alive, something stopped me, hypnotized, just like heaven almost died. You the sound of the morning, sound of the morning, sound of the morning.
Thank you to anyone out there who's listening this morning. I just find my plectrum. This final song I'm going to play is it's called Float. It's a song that I wrote with my lovely friend Oliver Wilde, who is a Bristol legend. He's in the band called Pet Shimmers, who are very good, and I recommend giving them a listen. But yeah, this song's called Float. Yeah.
Float along the shore, pebbles sink beneath the soles of each 2 feet. You hate when it rains, perfect remains get swept away. Trudge back to the car, I feel like I'm gonna hit the ceiling tonight. We have arrived, feel the crunching of the ice. Footsteps in the hall, pictures on the wall. There's not much to talk about. Trudge back to the car, I feel like I'm gonna hit the ceiling. Where is the part
We were delighted to bring you that treat for a Monday. What a perfect way to start off the week. Katie J. Pearson live in studio and fantastic music. Three great songs, Alligator, Sound of the Morning, and you just heard Float. She'll be in here for a conversation in just about a minute. Hang out. I told you this morning when I first came on, we had a treat for you today, and that's exactly what you got. And my goodness, I could not be more thankful to have her in studio now. Katie J. Pearson with a great live set there. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I'm way better now. I'm way better now. That was an absolutely great set of three songs.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Your latest album, Sound of the Morning, released in July of last year, was number one. It was the number one independent album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That was very cool. I didn't know what to expect. I feel like you never know what's going to happen. And that was very mega. And I remember my label actually gave me, you get an award thing from BBC Radio 1. And so I have that in my house. And I look at it and go, what? That is wild.
Man. So you talk about Bristol,
yes.
But you're originally from Gloucestershire. Did I pronounce it correct? Gloucestershire.
You were so close. Oh, Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire.
But I understand why you say glue. But I like that pronunciation.
I worked on it all weekend long, and I worked on it wrong apparently. So,
no,
okay,
I like your version better.
Thank you so much. So who do you cheer for in the Premier League?
As in football.
As in football. Are you a football fan?
I enjoy football. I feel like the team that I'm most swayed towards is probably Arsenal.
Okay.
If I said that right, if that's the Premier League.
Okay, yes, you're correct. Yes, good. It is Arsenal in the Premier League. I'm sorry. Sorry to throw a left curveball at you.
I'm
there.
Into like, it, don't
all right. All right. The first song we heard was Alligator. I found it wonderfully charming, by the way. First, you're learning French, and then you forget, and then you step and vomit. Tell me about the putting together of Alligator.
Yeah, so that song I wrote in the studio with Dan Carey that produced that song and some of the songs on my record. And when I went in that day to record, I was like having a bit of a mare because I had a really big Eon bill. Like bills in England are going up big time, and I had a really big electricity bill that was came out of nowhere. And I was in London, and I was like, I'm skinned. I was like, this is so stressful. And I was having a bit of a wobble, and I went into the studio, and then Dan was like, let's write a song. And I was like, oh, I don't feel like it. And then we wrote that song, and it came out of kind of nowhere. And, you know, when those kind of things happen, it's so random. You never know when a song is going to feel like it gets someone else is transmitting through you, and you come out with the song that you like. And I think with that one, it was, I loved it. As soon as we kind of tracked it and we listened back into the speakers, I was like, this song is a vibe. And I think I wanted to just like take a lyrically, just anything that's like makes you feel anxious, like, you know, big waves and like stepping in vomit and sickness. And
that's the one for me right there. The moment that it's on my shoe, I'm done for the rest of the day. I got to take those shoes are useless now.
It's just stress. It's just like if you're a night out and you're like, I've just stepped in vomit. It's like, and it feels like it's a very universal, relatable thing that can happen.
It is. And so are high electric bills. So are they still outrageous for you?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, bills have gone crazy.
Right.
But this bill is being sorted, so I can relax a bit. But bills are still very expensive, unfortunately.
That happened to me. And I noticed that it was my neighbor was tapping into one of my electric lines and stuff. And I didn't,
that
I'm like,
so
why
naughty.
This jump? And that's what it is. Yeah, that's that's not good. I got to tell you about the second song, the title track of the album, Sound of the Morning. I found it transported me elsewhere. It really did. It took me somewhere else. Am I crazy or is that the intent?
Oh, definitely. I think with that song, definitely. I think it's got this kind of like pastoral, like folk nostalgic vibe to it.
Right.
And I think when I recorded it, I wanted it to feel like, it kind of feels like on the record, there's obviously this like kind of like pan flute and my friend playing also just a classic flute.
Right.
And I think it does make you feel like you're just stepping into some kind of like medieval forest or something.
Right.
But yeah, I think definitely on that song, I think it was, it felt pretty like easy to work out what its identity was and how I wanted it, the listener to feel when they heard it. So I'm very glad that that's how it made you feel.
Right. Now, a few years back, you were in a band with your brother.
Yes.
And then since you went solo, your brother still helps write some of your music. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. So on the first record, there was a few songs that we like collaborated together with. And then on the new record, like Talk Over Town, we kind of worked on it a bit together. And there's another few songs. And like every once in a while,
He comes back and plays live, but we've decided that we're the same age, so I feel like we'd bicker too much on tour. So,
well, that was going to be my question. How tough is it to play or to write with a sibling? And is he older? Is he younger? And how's that dynamic?
So we're the same age.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I feel like the dynamic is one of those things where you're so used to each other and you can be so comfortable, but you can also, there's no boundary of what you can't say to each other. So you can just be so savage when you're writing and be like, this sucks, and be like, oh, I don't like that, I hate it. And then you start bickering and you're like, well, I like it. So I feel like you have this already level of like being a sibling, and that you just haven't got like the filter to like be more polite. So you can end up being, and on tour, I feel like because we've grown up together, I think when we're on the road together, it's like, oh, you again. But we're so close, like, you know, he's doing his own music now too, and like, you know, we always still come together, but I think we've realized for making sure we don't fall out forever, it's better to just have a bit more separation,
right?
Boundaries.
Oh no, I get it. I absolutely get it. And maybe there's a lesson in the assertiveness that you chose with him, or the assertiveness you're able to apply with him, maybe with others, and that allows you to be a little more assertive with others, doesn't it?
Totally, absolutely. I think it's I think it can be hard to be assertive. So I think when you can practice on your brother and be extremely, maybe savagely assertive, it means you have a good ballpark where to go with other people. Yeah.
Right. Now working with Dan Carey, who produced the Fontaines and Wet Leg and a bunch of other great bands. Clearly, Dan knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
But are you allowed, do you have the freedom to go, no, to be that assertive, to go, ah, you know what, this is what I'm preferring here.
Let's, oh, definitely. Right. I think there's I work with people that aren't like Dan and that can be very stubborn and be like, I know what you want better than you, and that's really annoying.
Right.
And with him, I think that's why I enjoyed working with him. It felt like a very collaborative effort on production. And I felt like he really listened to me. And I think, you know, when I listened to like, you know, Fontaines and Wet Leg, I think there are elements of those productions that I liked, but I was like wanting to make sure that although he has these like classic sonic points that he will probably go to, I felt like I didn't want it to sound too similar to maybe other bands he produced. Because I think some producers can have like a stamp. They have like a sonic stamp that they use and they're like, this is my thing I do. And I think I wanted to make sure that there was like, you know, element of that, but also it still felt like me. But yeah, he's a real pleasure to work with. And, I think, yeah, he's a good guy.
Beautifully described, by the way. That was beautifully stated. Sometimes there's a stamp that they go with it, but yours, your music and what we hear, here in studio, certainly, but recorded music, singularly you, there's a singular tone. There's a singular sound that you have that no one else has.
Yeah, it's so important that, and I think it can easily be lost. And I think because I've been doing this for so long, you kind of start to work out, hang on, okay, you can be more protective if you want to be.
Right. And the confidence in that that magnificent instrument that is your voice, where did that confidence come from?
I have no idea. Like, okay. You know what, it's one of those things. I mean, my parents were so wonderfully supportive, and from a young age I was singing, but I never sang because I wanted to be a singer. I just enjoyed it. It was fun.
Right.
And then I think my parents were like, oh, she can sing quite well. And they kind of, you know, we'd perform at Christmas parties and, you know, we do gigs in our local town. But like, I never had singing lessons. I think I had like maybe one, no, hang on. Maybe I had like one singing lesson once, but I didn't enjoy it, so I stopped. So
Did they try to change your style during that lesson?
I think it was just very like classic, like kind of musicals. Like I was having to sing like Sound of Music and I was like, oh, this is my vibe. But also I thought like voices are so interesting. And I think, I don't know, I think the way that I talk and then the way I sing, you know, when you sing, you're using different part of your...
Right.
I don't even know how to say
your
larynx. I was like, oh my God, what's the words for it? And you know, your voice kind of develops over time. And even this morning, my voice was a bit tired, but it kind of gave a good tone. I didn't feel like anxious about it. I was like, oh, it sounds quite, you know, rough and ready. But I think I've always had a vibrato going on, like that's I've always enjoyed using. And I feel happy that I can project my voice quite well. I would be sad if I was more of a quiet singer. I couldn't do that.
Right.
So I feel lucky with how, genetically my larynx and my vocal cords have grown.
So you're able to hail a taxi cab from far away, I hear you, right?
Yeah. Hey, oh yes. Patty. Oh, definitely. Right. Yeah, I reckon so. But yeah, I think when you talk to a lot of musicians that sing, you know, it's so weird how. Yeah, it's just a funny thing that you talk like this and then you have this other voice, other part of you that's his voice. And right. It's funny, yeah. No, it's not funny. It's like, it's cool.
Right, I agree. In listening to you speak and then hearing you sing 6 feet away from me, I think, wow, this is really cool.
Oh, thank you very much.
It is transformative. Before I ask you about Float, I want to tell the audience that on Monday, May 1st, you're at Genghis Cohen here in Southern California in Los Angeles. I've got information for you if you want to call the station or if you want to text me in, I'll give it to you. And then you jump across the country directly to New York for a May 3rd show.
Absolutely.
You've absolutely neglected the middle of the country there.
I have. I've done an absolute, right. I feel like there was a point where we were thinking about it and I was like, right, you know, I would love to play more shows, but it's expensive.
Right.
It's expensive to be here. But I will be back and I'll do... everywhere.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, that might take a long time. But.
So I, while you're singing, I'm getting texts from other parts of the country that listen to the program in the morning and going from LA to New York, really? So yeah, that's we got to make sure we'll book you for some more dates in different cities and stuff. So tell me about Float. I loved Float.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's one of my favorite songs from the record. I think, so I wrote it with my friend Oliver Wilde that I said on before I played it, and he's fantastic in a band called Pet Shimmers. And yeah, we just like, it was kind of when we were coming out of lockdown and we were finally allowed to have people around and I was really itching to do some writing and I'd been on my own so much writing that I just wanted to have another person in there to kind of just spark something new. And he's such a brilliant guitarist and, you know, he's very much more in the kind of like emo grunge pop realm.
Right.
And so I think you can hear a bit of that with some of the chords in the song. It's got a bit more of a, it's not the predictable chords that I'd normally go to.
Right.
So that was really useful because it just got like a different sense of melodic pattern out of me. And I think there's something about the song that feels quite, it reminds me of other things, but it still feels like me. I love playing that song. I feel like I connect with it a lot. I think it's musically, I just enjoy playing it. And
I got to tell you, we enjoy listening to it. It was fantastic. And will you be working with Oliver again?
Oh, I reckon so. I mean, we've done a lot of like little just random sessions together over the years, and I think over time you find these people that, you just connect with musically, and it's very easy. And I think those things are very rare, and it's important to kind of keep them going, keep it growing.
How many songs can you work on at the same time, or do you have to? As you're writing, do you write one song at a time and then maybe a line doesn't fit and you go, oh, maybe this will work for something else and you put that aside? How does that process work for you?
Yeah, I think it's, I think when I was younger, I was way more stubborn and I was like, I'm working on this right now. I'm not going to, once it's finished, I'm not changing anything. Right. These are the lyrics. You can't make me do anything. And then now I'm a lot more like, oh, I get it now. I'm like, it's because I think one of the hardest things is actually having to go back and work on a song again. I think especially there's some songs that I'm working on for like when I do my next record that I'm listening to, and some of them are really old, and then you have to be like go back, and sometimes it's like you can really do your head in because you're trying to work out if you need to change a lyric there. But in terms of the way that I focus and write, I think it's normally one song at a time, but I'm also I get bored really easily, so I'll start working on something and I'll go, oh, I'm bored now, and do something else.
Right.
And that's why it's good when you work with someone else, because they help you focus. Because I'm like, oh no, I don't think this is very good, and then they're like, no, we need to work on this. I'm like, oh, do we? And then we work on it, and then it becomes a single, and I'm like, oh yeah, thanks for
right.
But I don't know. I think as I'm getting older, I'm like learning more about. Yeah, I think I was very stubborn when I was younger, and I was like, this is where I do it. And I think, you know, it's important to be protective when you need to be, but I think I'm learning to be more open-minded with the way I write. And And also, like, in terms of when you collaborate with people, I think sometimes you can feel like, especially because I'm a songwriter in my own right and write a lot of my own songs, I think I used to always kind of feel this insecurity of collaborating and feeling like it was meaning that I was not as kind of good if I was working with someone else. But actually, you know, it's important not to think about that. It's like if someone else can bring something really good to your music, and you learn from them, then, you know, it's never a bad thing.
It's like a great recipe. You know, if you add a little of this, it just might be great.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you cook?
Yes, I do like cooking. I'm very like a small batch of things that I cook. Right. But I can make a good like veggie, I was going to say veggie beef stew, which doesn't make sense. A veggie stew that have beef in it sometimes.
All right.
Not also, sorry, that's very
okay. Well, yeah, let's add a little something to the recipe. Yeah. It seems to work out. And currently working on anything that you can let us know? Is there anything, should we see anything on the horizon in the next couple of months? Here?
There's like stuff happening. I'm not sure what like is fully confirmed. So I don't know if I can say anything yet, but there's definitely, I'm definitely working on things, and I've been in the studio where I've been here working on the next record. So, you know, we'll be back to do more things.
We're excited. Yeah. We're excited for that. Monday, May 1st at Genghis Cohen here in Los Angeles. On the 3rd, 2 days later at the Mercury Club in New York. If you're looking for information, you can get it right here. And if our listeners wanted to purchase your music or your swag or whatever, somewhere that benefits you the most, where is that?
Bandcamp. Bandcamp is the place, people. That is where we get the majority of the profit. And Bandcamp's the best.
All right. I love hearing that. I love hearing that. Katie J. Pearson, I got to tell you, the next time you're here, you must stop by and say hello.
I shall. I might get in to see you next time as well. It's a sunny day.
All right. That works. That works. And you know what? Even if it's not sunny, you can get in. It's okay. It's a year-round thing. Thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure.
All right.